God, we love you. It's so wonderful to be here with God's people and to sing these songs to you. We do bless you and praise you through both the good and the bad times. For we know that you are a good God and you are at work in and through everything that we experience. Thank you for Jesus who overcomes it all, both in us now and through the church and in all of eternity one day completely. We thank you for this time of year where we can celebrate high school students and their graduation and significant steps that they take as they now pursue the things that you have for them. As we turn to your word, God, we pray that you give us understanding. May it be encouraging and challenging, comforting. May it feed our souls. And may the things that we share be an encouragement and help to our graduates and their families, as well as the church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every day is special, right? We get a new start. It's kind of like a do-over, no matter how the day before has gone. But not every day is equally memorable. But for our graduates that are here, we do hope that this will be a day that you remember. Graduation is an event, but it really is about everything that took place before and everything that takes place afterwards. In fact, for all of us in the room, how many of you guys can remember the year you graduated from high school? And how many of you that haven't graduated yet know what class you'll be a part of? All right, just share that with the people around you. What year did you graduate? Or if you haven't yet, what year will you graduate? All right. Brings back good memories. Actually, I just wanted to feel like this was a junior high boys class. Everybody talking while I'm trying to talk. Just kidding. Our junior high boys are not like that. Well, I graduated in 1984, and here's my yearbook to prove it. What do you think I looked like in 1984? There you go, man. That was a huge transition in my life when I went from parting my hair on the side to parting it in the middle. Thankfully, that went away. But 1984, I graduated. I remember when I graduated, probably a lot like some of you graduates. There were some ways I was really ready. I was so tired of the same classes every single day. And I couldn't wait to get to college, where you got to go every other or a couple times a week, and then the rest of the time was yours. I was ready for that. I was ready for a little independence, kind of be out on my own. At the same time, I was a little sad when I thought about, when I come home, will my room still be here? Or will they already have forgotten me and turned it into something else? Or I wonder what the cafeteria food is going to be like. For me, I was going to live in the dorms at Clearwater Christian College. Boy, I sure am going to miss just being able to grab a snack or have mom's home cooking. I was a little anxious, a little nervous, even though I had it planned out. And I'm sure, graduates, you have some of those same kind of mixed feelings today. This transition is a lot of change. It is. And so as we come to this morning, I was thinking about something that won't change. Maybe it'll take on a different form, but the relationship that you graduates have with us as a church won't change. We hope that you'll always see us as your family, as your church. Because we don't see this as a finish line. We see it as part of our continuing investment in you. And so when we think about the last 12 years or however many years it's been, maybe since you were a baby, or I know some of you haven't been around quite as long, but our goal here as a church is to partner with parents. And if you've been a part of our kids ministry, there's been countless adults that have invested in you and given their time and their energy to try to help you be rooted and built up in a faith and with Jesus Christ. And in our student ministry, you've had junior high leaders who have tried to come along beside you and help you develop your own faith. And high school students, we've tried to encourage you to figure out your own personal mission. What is it that God wants you to do with your faith? And as a congregation, we do a good job of building relationships. And we want our students to feel they're part of our church now, not just biding their time to wait until they graduate. So there's been countless of people who have invested in you. Some that you've seen and some that have been working behind the scenes. And you've invested in us. So many of you have been serving, whether it's in kids ministry or music or in work projects or going on missions trips. So you've invested in us as well. So when we come to this occasion, we don't want you to feel like this is goodbye and now you're on your own. Instead, we want to feel like this is part of our preparation for you to be able to say, hello world. And now you go to live out the faith that you've received. To do that well, we want to help you make sure your bags are packed well. Because as we've all learned through different transitions, maybe the most important thing is what you pack in your bag. So this morning, we're just going to pack our bags together. And I want to remind you of some things that are already in your bag, as well as other things that you'll be adding to your bag. And to do that, I want to point us to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. If you're not familiar with your New Testament, there's a table of contents. So we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy, which is right in the middle of those letters that Paul wrote. If you have your Bible and want to turn with us, or the verses will be up on the screen as well, coming from the New Living Translation. But as we head to 2 Timothy, we're going to see this relationship between Paul and Timothy. We call it a book, but it really is a letter. It's a letter written by Paul, who's an older missionary, and he's writing it back to Timothy, who's a younger guy who's being mentored by Paul. And Paul is investing in Timothy because he's wanting Timothy to go on his own missionary journeys to share the gospel. And as we read the letters that Paul has written back to Timothy, we gain some insight into that relationship that I think will be helpful to us as we think about what to pack in our bags. A few things that we know about Paul. In his journeys, he traveled to Lystra. And here's a map. If you look over the Antioch, that's the Israel area. That's where the Christian faith started, and Paul would travel into Asia. And one of the stops that he made was to the city Lystra, and that's where Timothy lived. Timothy's mom was a believer, but his dad was not. And the believers in Lystra, and there's a surrounding city like Iconium, spoke very well of Timothy. He was known to be of good reputation and high character. And this is the kind of person that Paul is investing in. Timothy was also very committed because Paul was going to be going to some cities where it would be helpful if Timothy was circumcised. And so he did it. So graduates, no, I'm just kidding. But from that, we learned that Timothy really was willing to do whatever it would take to be mentored by Paul and to be able to minister with Paul. And as Timothy prepared to go out on his own, there were some things that were in his bag. His bags were packed and he was ready to go. And I want us to see three things that Timothy had in his bag because of Paul's investment in him. And I think that you'll see we've tried to make the same kind of investment in you. So verse 1, this letter from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, I've been sent out to tell others about the life that he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. So Paul's writing this letter back to Timothy. And I want you to notice how he describes Timothy. What are those three words there? Timothy, my dear son. My dear son. And we start to understand that this relationship was more than just two church members, more than just two friends. Paul really did see Timothy as family. And he mentions that a couple of other times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. In another letter to the church at Philippi, he mentions Timothy, and he says he's like a son with a father. The relationship between Paul and Timothy. 19 different times in these letters that Paul writes, when he mentions Timothy, he describes him this way. To Paul, Timothy was family, and to Timothy, Paul was family. You see, Timothy knew that Paul was behind him. As he's thinking about going out on his own and doing ministry, he knew that Paul was behind him. Because they were like family. And graduates, as you make this transition, we want you to know that we're behind you. We see you as part of our family. You have a history with us. Whether you've been coming a short time or a long time. But we don't want you to see that that relationship is now over. There's still a present tense to that relationship. And we want to be an anchor for you. As you go through these different life changes, and we want to support you. And as a reminder of that, the leaders have gotten together, and we have a gift for you. So I know you're kind of sprinkled all over, but I'm going to ask if you guys will come up. I'm going to ask Frank and Michelle, who are our small group leader coaches. They invest in our small group leaders. And I'm going to ask them to come up and just help us give these gifts out, as our leaders want to give you this to remind you that we're behind you. And so our hope is that every time that you read this book, your Bible or book, every time you see that, you'll be reminded of that. All right, so I'm just going to read the names, and then you guys can come over and get it. So we've got Jessica Kresge, who graduated from Koinonia Homeschool. Just come on over and grab that, and then if you guys will stay up here, we'd appreciate that. Kyle Livesey, graduated from Northview. Kai graduated from North Point Christian. We've got Coleman Stevens, graduated from Wellspring Prep. Audrey Stewart, graduated from Comstock Park. And Alyssa Vanderstel, graduated from North Point Christian. And for those of you that were here last week, we gave James Wired his gift last week because he's already shipped out to Fort Benning. So, guys, when you use this Bible or read the book that we've given to you, there's a sticker in there that reminds you that it's from your leaders, but a reminder, too, that it's from your church. And we want you to know that we consider you family, and we're behind you. All right? Let's give them a hand. You guys can go ahead and be seated. If we continue in verse 3, Paul says, Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I'll be filled with joy when we are together again. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. Paul here speaks about the closeness of that relationship that they share as brothers in Christ, as partners in ministry, as family. And the closeness of the relationship makes it difficult when they're apart. What Paul is pointing to here is that Timothy knew Paul had been and was with him as well. Not only was he behind him, but he was with him, and he had been with him. And students, we would want to say to you that we've been with you as well. When we think about our leaders, they're listed in the program for you, and they don't like a lot of public attention. But I wanted to say publicly thank you to the volunteers who invest in our students. It's much more than just showing up for a Wednesday or a Sunday, but they are truly investing in the lives of our students and our graduates. And they've been with our students through these years. It reminded me of camping. Any of you guys campers? Any of you guys tent campers? So here's the deal. When I grew up, we vacationed in South Carolina, North Carolina area. My dad was in the Army, so several times we were stationed in the North Carolina area. And my dad loved to camp, so we would go camping. To me, camping was just dirt, bugs, couldn't wait to get back home to my bed, and normal food. I never enjoyed camping at all. What sticks out most is the year we had a big family tent on the beach area, and a hurricane came. And that's what I remember. Screaming, the tent's falling down, we're jumping in the car, and I almost drowned that year too. So that was camping for me. I have camped and spent time in a tent many, many times over the last 30 years to be with students. There's a man named Greg Hansen that was thinking about to his experience in church and the significant role that his leaders played. And he started talking about those trips that you go on, and one particular youth leader that made a difference in his life because it always seemed like he was in his tent. And I wanted to read that to you. When Hansen remembers the childhood and teenage years, he thinks about his youth pastor, Art Erickson. Erickson made a big impression on Hansen whenever the group went camping. Erickson says Hansen never slept with the adults in the counselor's tent. I've often wondered about that, curious that this particular grown-up always ended up with us. For some odd reason, he decided he liked the noise, the mold, and smelly socks in our tent more than the camaraderie, adultness, and quiet cleanliness of the counselor's tent. I had a hunch that down inside, he might really enjoy getting away, but for some odd reason, he didn't. Hansen says, he was there in our tent when I was 12, talking with us about girls and sex and what real love was, when like other grown-ups thought we didn't care about that stuff at our age. He was there in our tent when I was 13. I'd just become a Christian and was somewhat awkwardly putting on the new clothes of a relationship with Christ. He was there in a tent in Cincinnati when I was 15 and struggling with the painful and awkward feelings about whether I was lovable or not. He was there when I was 20 and inwardly confused and fed up with my role as a good Christian. He was there when I smashed the window of a car with a water balloon as an expression of the unrecognizable anguish inside of me. Art stayed in my tent through all of that. I often wondered about the habit he had of sleeping in our tent, even though the stuff in there wasn't pretty, neat, or clean. I guess I know now why he chose to do that and what it meant. I guess now I know that I have something emotional and spiritual from his being in my tent that I will cherish for the rest of my life. That's what we ask our leaders to do. And many of them have families of their own. And so publicly, I just want to say thank you for investing, for giving your life to walk alongside these students, to be in their tent. And we're just following the example of Jesus. In John chapter 1, Jesus said this. So the word Jesus, or it said about Jesus, the word Jesus became human and made his home. He tented. The word is actually tented. It's tabernacled. If you remember the Old Testament, there was a temple that was built. It was a permanent structure. But when Israel had to move and wander, they developed something called the tabernacle. It was actually a big tent that when they would set up camp, the tabernacle was set up in the middle of the camp to be the place to worship God. That's the word that's used. Jesus tented among us when he took on flesh and lived as a human being. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So in theology, this is a big fancy word. We call this incarnational ministry. Jesus is the Son incarnate. He became flesh. And really, that's what all ministry is. It's entering into the world of the people that we're trying to minister to so that God may give us influence in their life. And that's what our student leaders have done. And we publicly thank you for doing so. So we've been with you, graduates, but we also will continue to be with you. Look what Timothy says. Not only does he say that I long to see you again and speak about that, but he says, I constantly remember you in my prayers. And you got to love that about Paul as you read his letters. His heart is constantly letting the people know, I'm with you. I'm praying for you. And so the obstacles that were there or the distance didn't change the fact that Paul was with them. And he's writing from prison. He is in Rome in prison at the time that he writes this. And he's still thinking of Timothy and praying for him. I imagine that Timothy, in times when he was frustrated or struggling or overwhelmed by the moment, found great comfort in knowing that his mentor, Paul, was praying for him. And maybe he kept a copy of that letter, or at least remembered the letter that Paul had written that said, I'm praying for you, I'm with you, and all that that represented. And so we've been with you, but we will continue to be with you. Graduates, I want you to look around and know that the people at this church love you, and we will continue to pray for you. Now, Paul wrote a letter, and we may still do that today and write you a letter, but I got to imagine that if Paul and Timothy had cell phones, they would have texted a lot, don't you think? Back and forth. Just how are things going? I'm praying for you. And so, graduates, I want you to know that we'll be praying. And moving forward, we'll do our best to keep up with where you are. Some of you I know are staying at home, and some of you are going off to school. For those of you that are going to stay here, we've tried to get you connected to our young adults ministry, the Vita class. We've tried to help you become part of our church so you feel comfortable here. Some of you are going off to another place, and we've talked about the importance of the larger body of Christ and how immediately the best thing you can do is find a good church and get connected to another local body. But we're going to do our best to communicate with you. Whether it's writing letters or texting, we'll make sure that you stay on our prayer list. And I just remind you that the phone works both ways, or email works both ways. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your life. Tell us how we can pray for you. Save the request for money for your parents. All right? But we really do want you to know, just as Timothy knew that Paul was with him, we know that we have been with you in many significant ways, and we want you to know we'll continue to be with you. We love you, and we will be praying for you. And what Paul desired for Timothy was God's best. And he continues in verse 5, he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That's what we want for you. Take this faith that you've been given. Continue to grow it. Use the gifts and abilities that God has given you to serve him during this time in your life. Verse 8, he says, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. This next stage of life for you graduates can be pretty hard. Being a Christian in high school has challenges, for sure. And being a Christian after high school has challenges, but it also just has a way of becoming a little more complicated. And Paul says to Timothy, hey, when those days come where maybe you shrink back and maybe even ashamed, I want you to know I'm behind you, and I'm with you, and I'm for you. And there may be days when you shrink back from your faith, or maybe you're ashamed of the way you're acting as a Christian, or for whatever reason you drift. And when those days come, we want you to remember we're for you, and we're desiring God's best for you. But it may not be something directly related to your Christian faith. It might be failing a class, or not getting in a club, missing a deadline, making a huge mistake, being frustrated with your parents, or if you're still living at home, just being frustrated with that arrangement. You may disappoint someone. Or there might be days when you feel like you've let yourself down, or you've let others down, or you've let God down. There may be days when you write a letter like Julie did. Julie wrote this letter to her parents. Mr. and Mrs. Jones received this letter from their daughter Julie, a college freshman. Dear Mom and Dad, I just thought I'd drop you a note to let you know what's going on with me. I've fallen in love with a guy named Blaze. He's a really neat guy, but he quit high school a few years ago to get married. That didn't work out, so he got a divorce last year. We've been going out for several weeks, and we're thinking about getting married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into his apartment. I think I might be pregnant. Oh yeah, I dropped out of school last week so I could get a job to help support Blaze. I'm hoping I'll be able to finish college after we get married. Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that everything I've written so far in this letter is a lie. None of it's true, but Mom and Dad, it is true that I got a C in French and a D in math, and it's also true that I need some more money. Could you please send me $100? Thanks a bunch. Love, Julie. And she received a check in the mail the next week. Life, even for Christians, is filled with a lot of ups and downs, a lot of challenges. And Paul mentions that that's been his experience. It's going to be Timothy's experience. And graduates, we want you to know that might be your experience as well. But look what Paul says, continuing in verse 9. For God saved us to live what kind of life? Holy life. This is what God wants for you. No matter what the experience or no matter what the failure, God wants you to live a holy life. One that reflects his character. One that we want you to believe is genuinely best for you. Resisting the temptation, the shortcuts, the counterfeits that the world would offer. God is calling you to live a holy life. Notice that he says he did this not because we deserved it, but because this was his plan from the beginning of time to show us his what? grace. It's our sincere desire that if you've caught nothing else while being around us for the last several years, that a walk with God is all about grace. It's not something we can do. We can't rescue ourselves. It's not about us earning God's favor. It's not about when we mess up, there's no way back. Jesus came and died on the cross and took the punishment for our sin so that God could extend his grace. And that's how we get into his family, and that's how we live in his family. And right now you might have high expectations. It's almost like you get to start over, you get a blank slate, and you've got all these things that you hope are going to be true, and you've got in your mind what life is going to be like. And some of those things will come true. But it may be that many of them don't. And it may be that your path zigs and zags, because that's how life is. And when that happens, we want you to know that there's grace. See, Timothy knew Paul was for him and he was for his future. And we want you to know that we're for you and we're for your future. And so some of you may not even know what this stuff is, but you got to have one of these packed. This is for your laundry. All right? And you need a little soap, guys, to go in the laundry. When our laundry gets dirty, we need to wash our clothes and do our laundry. For me, laundry in college was a new experience. My mom did my laundry for me all the way through high school. So I don't know if you guys have been that blessed or not. But when I got to college then, I had to figure that out. And for me, it was like, what's the cheapest way I can do this? So back then, it was 50 cents to wash and 50 cents to dry. $2 was all I was going to give to it. So at the end of the day, or end of the week, whatever fit in two loads, that's what I washed. And I washed them all the time, which just means that they were really full. Because I went to Clearwater Christian College in Florida and played basketball. We had a gymnasium with no air conditioning back then. And so we had a lot of times that we changed our clothes and we got sweaty and we just threw that in the closet. And then on Saturday, whatever fit in there, we put it in there. We didn't sort anything. We just put it in there. So if you're not sure, if you're going like, what's this sorting thing? Then talk to your mom. She'll help you out with that. All right? So two loads. Put them in, and there were a few things that changed color, but nothing too significant. That's what the sorting thing is about. And then we had it was a small school, only about 300 people, and there was a guy's dorm and a girl's dorm, and in between, really on the back of the girl's dorm, was the laundromat. And we only had a couple of washers and dryers, and so quite often, you know, you had to try to manage the schedule. Who's got something in the wash, and who's got it in the dryer? There was one particular Saturday, I'm going over, and my clothes are washed, but there is clothes in the dryer. I checked several times over a period of a couple hours. They're still there. I've got to get going. I'm a super nice guy, so I'm not just going to take the people's clothes out and throw them on the table. I thought I'd fold them. So I take them out. I think I'm being a good guy. I fold them all up, put them there, and leave them. Well, the people got mad at me because I folded their clothes. And it was that day that I learned that not all freshman girls appreciate a strange guy folding all their clothes. I figured, I've got a sister. I've seen those kind of clothes before. I don't want to just throw them on the table, so I had folded them. So, graduates, write that one down, especially the guys. Just leave the clothes there and come back. It'll work out a lot better for you. There's one thing about being away, and parents, you guys can vouch for me for that. No matter where our kids are at any stage of life, there's one thing they always feel comfortable doing. That's bringing their dirty clothes back home to wash them. When I was in college, we loved to do that. I was an hour and a half away. I had no car, no way to get home, but I would get my friends, my guy friends, and say, hey, if you'll drive, we can go to my house, get some home-cooked food, wash our clothes, and watch Bruce Lee. That was my favorite movie to watch. And they would do that. So we would head home and wash our clothes. Spiritually, graduates, this is so easy to do that when we begin pursuing that holy life that God has for us and we mess up, we feel like we can't come back home. because people are going to be disappointed in us. Or they're going to hear what I did and they're not going to accept me. And so we put in our bag to symbolize that we need to do our laundry, we need to handle our dirty laundry. We want you to know that we're for you and we're for your future. And you can always come back home to North Park Baptist Church. God will always take you back when you come clean with him. Confess what you've done is wrong. Repent of it. And know that Jesus died for it. This may be, other than your salvation itself, this may be one of the most important truths that you will always need to hang on to. Because you will need to repeat it over and over and over again. And there's something about this stage of life where you've got those grand visions of what you hope life will be. Your parents have expectations. The church has expectations. We want to see you do well. And then when you mess up, it's easy to feel like I can't go back to God. I can't go back to my family. I can't go back to my church. But if you're willing to confess and repent, God will always welcome you back home. And we will always welcome you back home, whether things turn out the way you thought they would or whether they don't. And we want you to know that this morning. Paul closes with a charge. And I would just give you the same charge here, graduates. He says, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching which you've learned. We've tried to invest in you and give you something that will give you a life of security and hope. Hold on to that pattern of wholesome teaching. You're going to explore. You're going to be exposed to new ideas. Depending on what school you go to, you're going to be challenged in some of your fundamental beliefs. And we want to encourage you to hold on to them. Be willing to ask questions, to explore. Allow your parents and your church and other solid Christians to help guide you through that process. But hold on to this pattern of wholesome teaching. Look what he says in the next verse, verse 14. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people have said the Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. And that's why we don't see this as goodbye. We see it as a continued investment. Everything that we've done up to this point, graduates, is an investment in you that you would experience the gospel, the life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And at that relationship, and as you take on the character of Christ, that would drive every decision that you make in your life. Paul's writing this from prison. He gives us an example that it's not easy to guard this deposit, but it is important. And Timothy knew that Paul was behind him, that he was with him, and that he was for him. And therefore, he could complete the task. And that's what we want for you. We want to protect our investment that we've made in you and the investment that you've made in us, in our church. These investments have been made with that one goal in mind, that you would understand and live out the power of the gospel. So as you pack your bags, remember that because God is behind you, we're behind you. And because God is with you, we're with you. And because God is for you, then we are for you as well. In the middle of any difficulty you have, you've got an anchor in Jesus Christ and his church. In the middle of any stress or anxiety, you have our prayers. And the Holy Spirit is always with you. And when you mess up, you have grace. When we confess and repent, God the Father always welcomes us back home, no matter what we've done and no matter where we've been. So today, when we celebrate our students and we celebrate you graduates, we don't see this as goodbye. We see this as hello world. And we're so glad that we've had the opportunity to invest in you, and we look forward to seeing what God does in and through you.